Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He was sitting across from my desk, a new dad once again, but things were different this time. We had met at the hospital earlier, and now he was in my office and he was looking for some help. He was looking for some hope. He wanted to know how he was supposed to cope with what was unfolding before him. His little one was born with a rare skin condition, bright red, taut, easy to see that she was living in pain. Former military man, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "Pastor, my job as a dad, my job as a husband is to provide and protect, and I can't save my daughter from the pain that she's in, and I don't know what to do about that." And he was ripped apart. Tears running down his cheeks, tears running down mine. We talked, I listened, and then some things from my past came into play. My story was different than his story, but I understood the pain, the darkness, the loss of control. For me, one of those moments had taken place at the end of my first call in parish ministry. And there I was as the parish pastor, and everything had always seemed to work out. God had blessed that if I worked hard, I used my creative network, my determination and high character, that things just seemed to work out. It was like the Midas touch. Except this time. And pastor and people were in conflict, and heartache abounded. Have you had the time? Your story might be different than mine, different than my friends. But that place where you find yourself, perhaps as I was, curled up on the bathroom floor, helpless, hopeless, all the things you'd ever turn to were not working. Brother pastor is on the phone with me in the midst of these difficult days, and he had been on a similar journey before. As we were talking, he asked me a question that should have a very simple, quick answer. He said, "Scott, it appears to me that in the midst of the struggle and the heartache that you're encountering right now, that God is asking you, would you entrust your good reputation to His care?" The answer is supposed to be yes. And it's supposed to come immediately. I mean, I'm a pastor after all. But I will not lie. There was silence. For God had used my dearest friend to expose the idol that God was crushing. And eventually, reluctantly, because there seemed to be nowhere else to turn, the answer was yes. When I served in Louisville, Kentucky, down south also Vicard in Texas, there's some beautiful turn of phrase that comes from the South. And one of the things that I latched onto was this idea of getting pulled through the knot hole. You ever heard that? you're in a rough spot and you're getting pulled through the knothole. And all I could think of was those cartoons when I was a kid, right? And there's was a Leghorn, Foghorn, or whatever. He's pulling the one that's right through, and the cartoon character's going through the knothole in the fence, and then pop, he pops out on the other side. But there we are, we're in the midst of that knothole. The squeeze is on. And every one of us, when we've been in that dark place, we're saying to God, get me out of here. But what we're really saying is, push me back to the side where I came from. The side that's safe. The place where I've got everything figured out already. Push me back. I don't know about you, but usually about that time, God's saying something like, do you trust me? And I'm wrestling. Yes, Lord. And he's going to pull me through. He's going to pull you through to the other side. The things that we relied on, the things that worked, are going to be different. I've heard it said that maybe God's getting you ready for a new normal. And on that other side, you're going to discover it in the midst of that knothole. He wants you to know that you can rely on him completely. And everything else that you've been depending on, good things that you were depending on, he strips them away and all you have is him. And I'm tempted to say that with a frown, all you have is him. But you can't say that with a frown, can you? All you have is him. And the word of God that was given to me in those moments from St. John's pen in 1 John chapter 4. And so we know, and rely on the love God has for us. Say it with me. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Oh, and it's a great, great love. As he and I were talking about his infant daughter and the struggles that he was having, I asked him, this military man who had a grasp of history, I asked him, so tell me about the darkest day in human history. He wasn't expecting such a question. He was reeling, maybe throwing a few things out. And finally I said, I can help you out. I can tell you what day of the week it was. Finally, I told him it was a Friday. The day when creatures rose up and killed their creator. The earth gave witness to this horrible, wretched act. The sky went dark. The earth shook. Folks came out of their graves. It was a horrendous experience. The disciples scattered in every direction. All was lost. All was wrong. And the cry, and who could ever forget the cry? My God, why have you forsaken? And as we shared, in the midst of his heartache and out of my experience of God sustaining and terrible disappointment, reforming, reshaping, to use for greater purposes in the future, we talked about God using the worst days and turning them to his purposes. Because, my friends, what do we call that Friday today? It's crazy what we call that day. What do we call it? Good. When God gets his hands on it, he took the worst day in human history and he flipped it and used it for his purpose. We know it to be good, and how God brought the Savior down deeper than you and I would need ever go, darker than you and I would ever need experience. And he would go all the way to death's door, but even to hell's gates, but not stand on the outside. But experience the separation from God. So you and I would never know that. Never know such a thing. Ever know such a thing. And if God could take that day and turn it for good, how might God be at work right here, right now? It's a question of faith. We don't have the answer how he's going to make it all happen, but we know who he is. We know his heart. We know his character. We know that he would not waste anything. For those who say any road leads to God, we say, what would the Father in heaven be so foolish as to lead his son through hell if it wasn't absolutely necessary? No, God is too good. He's too wise. He's the ultimate good steward. When no one else was thinking and talking about renewing, reusing, recycling, God is in the business of reshaping, reforming, and bringing us through our brokenness and pain to come to rely on him, perhaps in a way like we never had before. And he nodded his head. I've never needed God like I do right now. Charlie Brown, is going trick-or-treating with his friends, and he's got his pillowcase. They all come back, right? They dump it out on the living room floor, and everybody's got chocolate bars and good stuff. And do you remember what's in Charlie Brown's pillowcase? Lumps of coal. That's exactly how it feels, right? We're going through life, and everybody else has got candy and chocolates and good stuff in their bag, and I've got stinking lumps of coal. Don't be fooled, my friends. Every home, every household has their lumps of coal. You just don't see them. And God's in the business of continual growth and development. So that lump of coal will come into your life, come into your family's life. And God will give you grace and strength to be able to overcome that difficulty, that hardship, that pain. He'll supply you with friends and encouragement. You'll learn how to rely on God. He will be sufficient for you. And then God being God, a period of time goes by, and guess what he brings into your life? Another lump of coal. You know, if it was the same size as the last one, you'd say, you know, we kind of got that one figured out. But that's just not the way God is he? So he's going to bring you another lump of coal, and he's going to bring it so it's three times the size of the last one. And finally, you're going to say, I can't deal with this. And he's going to say, Scott, that's fantastic. I'm so glad you realized that. I never find it fantastic. I never do. See the thing, my friends? What happens to coal in just the right circumstances? Enough heat, enough pressure. The environment is ideal. What can happen to coal? Becomes what? And each time God brings you through that experience, working through those lumps of coal that he has brought, eventually you begin to see how that experience has brought diamonds into my life. Took a hard, driving, determined young pastor and led him to be a person of compassion and mercy. Now that's a trick that only God can do. And so as that lump of coal comes into your life, you might be facing one this very moment. We pat our pockets. That's what we do, right? We pat our pockets because what do we have in our pockets? We have diamonds from the last encounters with those lumps of coal. There's diamonds there from last time. And so when the next one comes, we're reminded. And God supplies us. Oh, and my friends, when the lumps of coal come, this is again the way that God inserts us back into community. And when we stop living the lie of our culture that says, I can do it on my own, because we can't. And we weren't designed to be. And in preparing for the message today, God gave me an opportunity to reflect on the saints, the host of saints that he has used time and time again to come alongside, to bring his comfort, to bring his hope, to bring Jesus. For the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles. Why? We only think about ourselves. Why? Why me? Why this? Listen to God's plan. How good is God? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. And he is faithful. He will not forsake us. He will walk with you. He will lead you into a new normal on the other side of the knothole. And you will find, once again, that God is good. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. May the peace that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.